When our ground level survey asked Minnesotans about access to and satisfaction with health care in the state, we heard from a majority who thought the state was on the right track for having good health care. 56% also said the state was on the right track for providing care for mental health issues. But there's a part of the mental health landscape many of us, including our survey respondents, may not be aware of. As inpatient psychiatric hospitals have closed in the state, more people with mental health problems have ended up in county jails, particularly in rural parts of the state. As our guests join us for some insight on this, I'd be interested in hearing how this affects your family. Do you have a family member who's ended up in jail for problems that stem from a mental illness? What effect did incarceration have on that mental illness? So if you have some experience with this in your family, perhaps a family member who's ended up in jail for problems that have as a source mental illness, I'd like to hear from you this morning. And what effect did that incarceration have on their mental illness? Here's the phone number, 651-227-6000, 800-242-2828, on Twitter, at CarrieMPR. Mark Anderson is the executive director of the Barbara Schneider Foundation. It's an organization formed to address interactions between people with mental illness and law enforcement. And he's with us today from Minneapolis. And Mark, welcome. It's good to have you on the show.
Thank you.
Mark Sedeklik is with us. He's a reporter with NPR News. He's been reporting on the Ground Level Project, and he's with me in the studio. Mark, welcome. Good to have you here.
Good morning, Carrie.
When you saw the numbers in our Ground Level survey on healthcare and mental health care, one of the questions that immediately came to your mind was how aware are our respondents and Minnesotans in general about this issue with diminishing numbers of beds in psychiatric hospitals? What did you learn about that?
Well, it was in the news a couple of weeks ago when an Essentia hospital, the St. Joseph's Medical Center in Brainerd, said, hey, we're not going to take involuntary court-ordered psychiatric patients in our psych unit anymore. It takes too much to take care of that population.
Too many resources.
And away, state officials threw up their arms and mental health advocates expressed alarm about it. But the health system said, look, you know, the state began shifting away from the big asylum institutional facilities toward community-based care led by President Kennedy in the mid-1960s and very arguably has not followed through with the funding for that.
Mark Anderson, this is actually something that you're aware of as well, right? That there was a deinstitutionalization, as Mark is saying, in the 1960s. What happened after that?
Well, what happened was we discovered these pharmaceutical care that could be provided so that people could live in the community, didn't need to be in these state hospitals, which at the time, I don't know, some of your older listeners might remember, these were frightening places that people were sent to that literally they never got out of. And so we were able to move people out into the community, but it was never funded. And that continues to be a debate today. What's our priority? We're talking today in the news about, do we want to have a tax cut or do we want to have health insurance through Affordable Care Act? What's our priority? And if we cut in health insurance, we're going to reduce ability to provide mental health care.
So, Mark Anderson, just to be clear, just to stay focused here on the specifics of what we're talking about here, which is as psychiatric beds diminished, more and more people were supposed to be managing their medications in the community. Why are they having more interactions with law enforcement then as a result of that?
Well, law enforcement asks us to call. They say, if you see something, say something. And so people call 911 when they feel they need help. They don't know what to do. They don't know who else to call. So we send a police officer out. If they can't take the person to the hospital and they don't want to just leave them on the street, they feel they need to do something, they have an alternative. They can take them to a county jail. And it's an enormous problem. I just talked to Sheriff Sanek last night. And he said that over 50% of the bookings at the Hennepin County Jail, that's 31,000 bookings a year, census every day of over 700 people, 50% have some kind of mental health problem.
Wow.
So this is an enormous number of people that are affected by this.
Mark Zadeckly, you went to Crow Wing County, and they showed you an area where people who are having a mental health episode and have been arrested, right, by the sheriff's department there, are brought into this area. What did it look like?
Very institutional, very much like you might imagine the old school asylum type things. You know, there's a huge amount of frustration in local government. They feel like they have an unfunded mandate to take care of people that they're not suited to take care of in these jails. There's very tiny little room, a little bigger than a small cubicle, with a big metal chair thing that they have to sometimes take people that might try to maybe chew their arm off or poke a pencil into their stomach or something like that. They physically just strap the person to the chair. Then the chair is also anchored to the floor so it can't be tipped over. The jailers don't want anything to do with that. They say they have no other option, though. They cannot medicate these people like a psych ward could.
Mm-hmm.
They can just simply restrain them so they don't hurt themselves or other people. And they're throwing their arms up and saying, basically, we're criminalizing mental illness in Minnesota.
Let me grab a call here from Carl in Fergus Falls. Hi, Carl. Sounds like you have some experience with this. Okay. To Judy in northern rural Minnesota. Hi, Judy. Sorry about that.
Hi there.
Hi.
Oh, no, that's fine. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm a nurse and a pastor, and I have a nephew who developed early adult paranoid schizophrenia.
Mm-hmm.
And complete break with reality. And all of our family members tried to get him help. We reported him. We called and said he's a danger to himself and others. But the laws were such that they couldn't do anything until he did something. Well, he ended up breaking and entering in a completely delusional state. And then he is in the jail now and not getting any treatment. And It's just so inexcusable that these people who are so very ill can't get any help and there's no funding. And I'm with the other caller who said we've got to quit. We've got to make priorities. Mental illness is as real as cancer.
Judy, let me do this. I want to go back to Mark Anderson on what Mark Zadeckly and now you have said. Once people get booked into, you know, a county jail, Mark, then, as I think Mark Zadeckly said, they're not permitted to actually medicate them. So what happens to a person who is having a mental health episode in a jail?
Well, that's improved. You know, Barbara Schneider died in a police call 17 years ago. And that's how we got started, Barbara Schneider Foundation. And we've been working with police departments and sheriff's offices around the state to improve the response to people with mental illness that are caught up in our criminal justice system. And it really has improved. Both on the street, the officers are better trained, they're responding more appropriately, and in the jail, they're more aware of this. There's a screening when people go into the jail, and then officers, mandated statewide or anything. These are the sheriffs stepping up and getting training for their people. They're getting training on how to identify, is this a mental health issue that's going on? And can we give a heads up to the judge that they're going to see? If you have 50% of the people in the jail have some kind of mental health problem, that means 50% of the people in the criminal court have some kind of mental health issue. So the judges have ability to take actions, assist that person. And so how do we give that judge the heads up? How do we give the judges the information they need to make decisions? And then there is access to some treatment, but it's not a therapeutic environment. It's not a treatment facility.
Right.
Locking someone up in a small room for many hours a day is not good for your wellness, for your health. And if someone already has an underlying mental health problem, it just makes it worse.
Yeah, Mark, I want to take a call here from Amanda in Minneapolis. Hi, Amanda. Do you have some family experience with this?
I do. I'm both a mental health professional and have worked extensively in the crisis response community,
mm-hmm,
and hospitals, as well as having family members who have been having mental health issues, and as a result, whether valid or not, has taken to jails, not given the medications, both medical and psychiatric. There's a lot of issues in the system with the criminalization of mental health being a big stigma and belief, as well as the lack of resources. I've found the family members that I have had that have had that experience, if they didn't have someone in their life that knew what the system was and advocating for them, they just sit in jail, and it's very re-traumatizing. It compounds their experience.
Yeah, Amanda, you've brought up something, too, that I wanted to come back to Mark Zdeckling on. So in the reporting of this, Mark, I would imagine you're not hearing law enforcement say, yeah, the answer is reopening these psychiatric hospitals, at least the way they were in the 60s and 70s, or what are you hearing?
Well,
about
I mean,
that?
I spoke to a very outspoken county administrator in Crow Wing County who just said, pointed at that and said, is this better than an institution?
Ah.
At least in an institution, they have people that are, you know, presumably appropriately addressing some of the mental illness issues. I think that he's making an exaggerated point in that, but absolutely the thought is that the state needs to spend more money to make more facilities available. Great if they're going to be community-based, but they've got to exist, and they're overburdened right now, and there's just not the capacity, and that's why so many people are in jail.
Yeah, Mark Anderson, is that what you think the answer is?
Well, you know, just like other health conditions, some people with mental illness need to be in the hospital for a long period of time. There needs to be a complicated assessment done and a development of a treatment that works for them. And it takes time for a number of people, not everyone, but we need to have that. We need to have that capacity as part of our continuum of care in our state. And putting a person in jail will put them in jail for months, for years. But then we want to reduce the inpatient capacity in our healthcare system, and we need all the tools and the tool belt. We need prevention. We need to take care of trauma. We need to help children who are having trouble in school instead of viewing it as a discipline problem. Understand that some of them need help,
mm-hmm.
And we need to train. We need a community-wide effort to address this issue. We rely too much on the police officers. They can get there. They got a squad car. They're 24/7. They'll go anywhere. They'll go on any call. But we rely too much on them. And when other professionals and individuals and community members can just play a much stronger role and be a much bigger part of it. But we have to organize that community-wide approach. That's what we try and help people see.
And Nicholas says on Twitter, I have a family member that self-medicates with meth for schizophrenia and has been in and out of jail and halfway houses. Family had to move him out of state to find an adequate facility. He will never reintegrate into society, but he has nowhere to go in Minnesota. And do a call here from Emily in Richfield. Hi, Emily. What's your role in all of this?
I am currently a public defender, and previously I had been in the Brainerd office. So specifically with regards to that area, I can say there are a lot of people who have a lot of mental health issues that cause a lot of frustration both in the criminal justice system and for jail staff. I think we have a lot of really great jail workers, both in the Brainerd office and throughout the state, who really could provide a lot to this discussion in terms of the impacts that this has on people and how it doesn't really fix anybody's problem.
Yeah, Emily, I want to ask you, since you're in the judicial system here, or in the criminal justice system, is the legal, you know, infrastructure really prepared to handle these kinds of cases?
No. When it comes to legally people with mental illness, the standard for that getting acknowledged in terms of their liability is incredibly high and incredibly difficult to reach. And the system doesn't have kind of an answer for this person is mentally ill. How do we fix that other than, you know, ordering them to get therapy or to get treatment? And that doesn't always work out. That kind of puts them back where they already are. And holding them in jail or having them, you know, violate probation and then go back to jail doesn't really meet the underlying issue. It just punishes them and then sends them back out with no help whatsoever.
Really good to have your call, Emily, and your perspective on that part of this. Mark Zedek, like any indication that there is awareness of this at the state legislature and enough concern to look at potential appropriation of more resources into this?
I think absolutely that that's the case. And I think the comments that were made earlier, too, about needing to look at this as a whole system, there's growing awareness of that. Here's the deal, Carrie. If you cut yourself or if you don't feel well, you feel like you have a strep throat or something like that, you know exactly where to go. You can maybe go to a Minute Clinic or you can go to your conventional, you know, clinic. But if you have a mental illness, depression, anxiety, you don't know most people immediately how to start dealing with that. And that's very symptomatic of the broader problem in the difference between healthcare and mental health care in Minnesota and everywhere else.
Good to have you in the studio, Mark.
Happy
thank
to
you.
Be here.
Thanks for the reporting. And Mark Anderson, thank you very much. Good to have you on the show.
Thanks, Carrie.
Mark Anderson is executive director of the Barbara Schneider Foundation. You can find more information about our ground level reporting at nprnews.org.